in the KSRO kitchen. I'm Steve Garner. Good morning, everyone. Along with my co-host, Emily Ash Lamb. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning, Steve.
And thank you for this coffee beverage you brought in this
morning.
Oh,
you're very welcome. You know.
Very kind of you.
Doing my part to keep caffeine alive.
Since October 1987, the KSRO Good Food Hour has been on the air here in Northern California in Sonoma County. Possibly America's longest running radio food show. We're thrilled to have that. And Emily, you have moved in beautifully to your dad, John's position. And we thank you for being part of and continuing the lineage of John Ash and our wonderful chemistry on the air.
Well, you know, I love doing it.
Festa Italiana is today. We talked to Susan Macaluso last week. The North Bay Italian Cultural Foundation and Risorgimento is presenting Festa Italiana here in Santa Rosa today from noon to 4. An afternoon of La Dolce Vita in an urban winery village. There's about 40 different Italian varietals from so many of our local Italian winemakers here in Sonoma County. It's a free event. It's at the Vendor's Square at 1301 Cleveland Avenue. Lots of great Italian food, sweets, live music. There's raffles, there's auctions, there's Cibo's Rustic Pizzeria. They'll be cranking out pies. Create Venetian masks and other arts and crafts with Italian themes. Learn Italian phrases. Sing some Italian songs. It sounds really great. A lot of things to do for the kids.
Very fun. And there was promise of cannoli, of course.
Oh, yes.
Too.
You were fixated on that, weren't you?
You know, a good cannoli is hard to find.
It is. So make sure you support our local Italian community. Now, Emily, what are you doing this afternoon?
I will be a little bit later on today at the Petaluma Arts Center. But it's kind of an interesting event. It is called the Wine and Art, a Sensory Celebration of Petaluma's Harvest and Artisans. It's benefiting the Petaluma Wine Gap Growers Association, and it's going to be a fun event, sort of combining some art and wine, and there's chefs are coming out with food and things. There's a shuttle between two locations. It's quite a thing. I truthfully am not totally sure if there's tickets left, but that's where I'll be later. So come say hi if you're out there.
Sounds like fun. A new cookbook is just going to be released in probably 3 days. I think the official release date is October 28th of this year. It's called The Blue Food Cookbook, Delicious Seafood Recipes for a Sustainable Future, co-written by Andrew Zimmern and Barton Seaver. And I'd seen a few of the books that Barton has written in the past, but we've not had the pleasure of a conversation with him. And today's the day. Good morning, Barton, and thanks for joining Emily and me this morning.
Hey, good morning. It's such a pleasure to be on with you. Thanks for having me on. And Emily, I must say, your father, such a legend, a dear friend, and a man upon whose shoulders I stand in all of his work, championing sustainable seafood and so many other great causes. So I'm pleased to be in your company.
Oh, that's so sweet. And actually, I thought of that as I was reading your book, that I thought, gosh, this would have been one my dad would have just loved and was so many things that, as you said, that he championed. And thank you so much for saying that. That's very kind.
Yes. Well, it's always good to recognize those who come before us and spread love, right? The world needs more of that.
Exactly.
So. Well, you have just done so much in the world of seafood sustainability, writing a number of different cookbooks. You had a couple TV series, I know. I think on the National Geographic Channel. Was that one, Barton?
Oh, geez. That was former life, it seems. Jeez, I've had kids since then, so I can't remember pretty much anything that
okay.
happened.
Okay. Yeah. I'm here to tell.
I was an explorer for National Geographic,
yes.
And still am, and focused on, how we can reduce our impact on marine ecosystems through our food systems. And, in all of that work, both in print and digital media and in televised media, you know, what I began to discover is that sustainable seafood has two purposes. One of which is to reduce impact on marine ecosystems, but the other is to maximize the positive impact that those systems have on us. And in that work, it really turned my attention towards not just, hey, what do we need to do to fix seafood, but also just, hey, how do we so deliciously use seafood to begin to solve some of the other problems that we face?
Do you live on
environment to economics?
Barton, do you live on the East Coast?
I do. I am lucky enough to be on the ragged, jagged, delicious coast of Maine.
Mm. Okay. So it's interesting that you and Andrew wrote this together. Andrew is a force all unto himself and has many many popular TV shows on the TV Food Network. And Andrew, I believe, is he from the Midwest or is he from the East Coast too?
Well, he born and raised in Long Island, but found his way through his world travels over to Minneapolis, where he now resides.
Yeah, because I noticed a strong Minnesota influence in some of his writing, talking about some church supper recipes and things like that, which was great. Emily, you were really impressed with a couple of the recipes that they had different approaches to.
Well, I think that's maybe my favorite part of the book, is that it feels like a conversation between the two of you, that you put both of your recipes for clam chowder, both of your recipes for linguine and clams and crab cakes and things. It's just, it was fun to see the differences, and that they're not that different, but that slight changes can really make a difference in a crab cake or something.
Yeah, well, thanks for tagging on to that, because that was our... the most fun part of writing the book too, is that, you know, Andrew and I are both great cooks. And there's, you know, something that we agree on entirely is that there's no one right way to do something. Mm. And one thing that we were really trying to do with this book was to give people permission to fall in love with seafood and to try it out and to make it their own.
Yeah.
Right. To really learn those fluencies, those competencies, those confidences. And a great way to do that is to tease out the differences we have. And, you know, I might think Andrew's a heathen for using saltines in his crab cake. I mean, God, who would do such a thing? But I respect his right to do so, right?
I feel like it's a philosophy we could use more of in the world right now, to each their own.
You know, I'll tell you, you had mentioned John. John and I were judges at the Mendocino Crab Cake Festival a number of years ago. And, I'm a pretty lenient judge. John was not a lenient judge. Oh. Because he felt, well, he told me, he said, you know, these are good, but they're not my crab cakes.
He made
a great crab cake. Yeah. And he always leaned to the side of, like, make it simple. You don't need all these ingredients. Where's the crab?
Yeah.
He would be a harsh critic.
Yeah.
But there were some great crab cakes. These were some top chefs in the Northern California area that had entered this contest.
How many do you think had Old Bay seasoning in them?
Sometimes that's all you could taste.
I know. That's an interesting one.
I'm sorry we're jumping around so much, Barton. We should be more sequential in our chat with you this
morning. No, hey, I'm having fun. But I have a favor to ask of you, please.
Yes.
Could you get me a gig as a judge at the Mendocino Crab Cake Festival, please?
Sounds like a good day.
Well, I can. It's usually in January. It's usually in February or so, right at the peak of crab season here. I'll talk to the organizers, and I don't know that they're going to fly you out on the Concorde or first class or something, but maybe if your journey would take you up to Northern California, we'd love to host you. That'd be great.
Yeah, I'll take the Greyhound for crab cakes, man.
So the photography is beautiful.
Absolutely.
And I like that you spend a fair amount of time talking about sustainable seafood, why it's important to eat this way, to up our game this way when we're making purchases. But it's not preachy, and it's not a finger-pointing cookbook where you're feeling like I'm doing everything wrong.
Right.
Buying seafood is the most important thing. Buying local seafood, if you can, and we're blessed because we both live, we're bi-coastal people here, or if you're in the New Orleans area, but a lot of people that are landlocked don't have the access that we're blessed to have, but they can support so many of their native lake fishes. Like my wife is from the Midwest. We ate lots of walleye. We ate lots of perch. We ate a lot of lake fish, too. So there's a lot of good eating, even if it's not coming from the oceans.
True. Perch is excellent eating. I mean, what a charismatic, charming little fish. And sautéed up in butter with like a light dusting of flour and, wonder flour and a little cumin or something. Woo!
And thank you, and also thank you for not giving short shrift to farmed seafood. Mm-hmm. John was asked to be a judge at the Monterey Bay Aquarium. This was a high-end seafood dish type of organization, as you know, Monterey Bay. And the following year, he was not demoted, but he was asked if he would be a chef. And they were among seven others. And they were randomly assigned the fish that they would work with. And John told this story on there. He said, a couple of my fellow chefs came over and said, oh, sorry, John, you got catfish. And they were saying, tough luck. And he was thinking, shh, are you kidding? Catfish is a spectacular fish. But they were seeing it as kind of a second-class fish. I'm glad that you don't see it that way, Barton.
Well, you know, to each fish its own. And there is no such thing as bad seafood. It's only once glorious seafood poorly treated. And, you know, that's part of what we tried to teach in this book is, not teach, but impart and to guide people towards, is that every fish has its uses and its charms and its charisma. That, you know, if you look at every fish as a piece of cod, well, okay, yeah, you'll probably end up with an okay meal. But if you just begin to understand the subtle nuances and appreciate things for being what they are, and hey, you're in Sonoma, right?
Yeah, yep.
Not every Pinot Noir is the same. And that's why we love Pinot Noir, right?
Sure. Variety.
And so when we approach the seafood counter with the same sort of curiosity and excitement, really, that we approach a wine list, we're going to win, because chances are you're going to go home with the thing that's probably best in the case and that's most going to excite you.
Some of the things that I took away from the book is the quote, farm-raised is not lower quality than wild-caught seafood. A lot of people still believe that.
Yeah.
And vice versa, even. And a lot of that came about as a result of infighting in the seafood industry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of really horrible stuff that's happening in the seafood world. Let's be very clear and honest about that. There's a lot we need to fix. But what we're not hearing is the headlines about the huge amount of things that are going right. Mm. And one of them is farmed seafood. It's a brand new food system. It's about 70 years old in terms of when the first salmon net pen went into the water. The last time we got to invent a food system was about 10,000 years ago until we had aquaculture, right? So, of course, we got some things wrong, but of course, we're learning, too.
Right.
And I think that the legacy biases that we still hold against farm fish were based in truths. And what we're asking people to do is to, yes, we acknowledge those truths, but let's look anew. Because I think you'll be really amazed at both the virtues of good quality, intentionally farmed fish, as well as the deliciousness of it.
And also the bias toward frozen seafood.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. And Emily, your dad was such an ad. He went to Alaska, you know, every summer and would have frozen seafood shipped back here.
I was
gifted with this for 25 years.
Myself as well.
To me, it was just as good, if not better, than fresh fish. How do you feel about that, Barton?
I agree with you completely. Everyone probably has a story of the uncle that went striper fishing or, you know, albie fishing and comes home with 200 pounds and it goes into the back of the Kenmore freezer.
Yeah.
And you know what? Yeah, 2 years later, that's not a really great quality product.
Right. As is anything in the freezer for that long, right?
Yeah. Right. I mean, yes, exactly. And the raspberry sorbet next to it that now tastes subtly, not so subtly like albacore.
Right.
The difference, though, is when a fish is caught, filleted, processed, and frozen near to or at the point of capture, sometimes even pre-rigor mortis, what you end up with is a process that's not meant to prevent spoilage or, you know, as a last gasp effort to not throw it in the trash. What you end up with is an effort that's meant to, you know, capture pristine quality. Mm. And the other aspect of this is that there's two kinds of freezers in the world. We don't often think about this, but one freezer is meant to keep things frozen. Another freezer is meant to make things frozen.
Hmm.
These happen at very different temperatures. And when we let the experts with very good machines made to make things frozen at very low temperatures very quickly, you end up with a lot less cellular damage inside. Therefore, when you thaw it out, you end up with a more intact piece of fish that retains its moisture, its fat, its flavor. It cooks much like fresh. And these technologies are emerging. Well, if not fully emerged now. And again, it's one of those biases that we hold, I think rightfully so, but we should look again at. Right. And the freezer aisle, even though I live here on the coast of Maine, where I have fishermen buddies that literally drive by my house 100 yards away to the working waterfront where they go catch fish, and I get the best of the best, I still shop in the frozen aisle too.
Fascinating. I find that so interesting. Well, and you mentioned your a dad, so I am of the same thing that I'm like, I need something I can have at home. I don't always have time to go pick up fresh fish, so that's super fascinating.
Yeah. Well, let's take a two-minute break. We're with Barton Seaver. He and Andrew Zimmern co-wrote this new cookbook. It's called The Blue Food Cookbook, Delicious Seafood Recipes for a Sustainable Future from the producers of Hope in the Water. Isn't that a beautiful term to the whole philosophy of what this book's about? Yeah. It's going to be released in just a few days. We encourage you, as of course, living here in Sonoma, North Bay, in California, we are blessed with having access to great seafood. This will give you a lot of terrific recipes, ideas. We'll be chatting with Barton for a few more minutes this morning, right after these messages.
Have you heard about More Home Services, More Rewards membership program? It's an easy and inexpensive way to make sure your plumbing, heating, and cooling systems are always operating at peak performance. For starters, we perform two precision tune-ups per year, one for your AC and one for your furnace, plus an annual safety inspection for your plumbing system. Then, if you ever need repairs, you get front-of-the-line priority service and an automatic 15% off plumbing repairs and 25% off heating and cooling repairs. All of this is less than $20 a month. And here's the best part. 100% of your membership fees are applied to any future whole system replacement. More Rewards is an easy and inexpensive way to make sure your plumbing, heating, and cooling systems are always operating at peak levels. For more information or to join, call More Home Services at 707-505-8000 or find us online at morehomeservices.com.
We do more to treat you right. More Home Services.
Starting your own business can be challenging, but Exchange Bank is here to help. Hi, I'm Jim Curry, branch manager at Exchange Bank, where we invest in Sonoma County. That means helping local businesses to get started and keep growing. A small business loan from Exchange Bank can make all the difference when you're getting a new business off the ground and as you meet the challenges along the way. Here's Nicole Humber, owner of Bravo Restoration and Construction.
Exchange Bank has been by my side since the very beginning of my journey as a business owner. When I purchased BRC in Windsor, Jim believed in me and helped secure an SBA loan that made it possible. Since then, Exchange Bank has continued supporting my water and mold damage business with true partnership. I'll always be grateful.
If you own or are starting a small business, Exchange Bank is here for you. Visit exchangebank.com for more information. Exchange Bank, investing in Sonoma County since 1890. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 643948. All loans are subject to credit approval.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner along with Emily Ashlam, and we're chatting with Barton Seaver. He is the co-author of the new cookbook, The Blue Food Cookbook, Delicious Seafood Recipes for a Sustainable Future. This is right up our alley. We're lucky to live here in Northern California, where you have access to so much great seafood all along the West Coast. Barton has written, it looks like, 5 or 6 or 7 other seafood cookbooks. He's very busy and I guess spent a number of years in the restaurant business. Did you work in restaurants before, Barton?
I did. I'm a recovering chef and restaurateur. So having been out now for 15 years.
Good for you.
So how is the, can you give us a rough overview of how this book is formatted?
Sure. Well, there's about 100 pages that kicks it open with just our thoughts on seafood, on sort of the state of food systems, not from a high and mighty standpoint, but just from a, hey, here's how to think about the decisions that we are so fortunate to make a couple of times a day. There's some just practical tools and tips. You know, one of my favorite sections is where Andrew and I go through just the theory of each cooking method that's mm-hmm. commonly applied to seafood. And it's literally just about how to think about it, more so than it's not step by step so much as it's, hey, well, here's what you're looking to start with. Here's what you kind of need to do to get going. And this is what you're hoping to accomplish. And so that it's really setting people onto their own course with that confidence and competence to take whatever piece of seafood inspires them at the market and make a fabulous dinner out of it. And then we roll right into 140 plus recipes, lusciously and deliciously photographed by Eric Wolfinger.
Yeah.
And the way that we organize the book is by what I call culinary categories of seafood. So cod, everyone understands cod. They know cod, right? But there's also haddock and hake and tusk and ling, monk, skate, wolf, dog, eel, ray, pout, play, stab, flounder, witchbacks, tilapia, catfish. I mean, Ooh. I could go on, right? These are all just flaky white fleshed fish that pretty much cook the same. And if you're going to braise them in a shakshuka, inspired spiced tomato sauce and serve it over an almond inflected rice pilaf hinted with cilantro, it doesn't matter really what that fish is. And so we organize the recipes around that idea of, if the recipe calls to you, go find a great piece of flaky white flesh fish, right, or orange flesh fish like salmon, or a pan fish like perch or porgy or striped bass.
Absolutely.
And in that way, we're trying to open people up to not be beholden to the recipe, but to really begin their journey towards that confidence and competence.
I did love that section, as you mentioned at the beginning there, with all the different techniques, just because it reminded me of how many different ways there are to prepare fish, and you made it so accessible. It was like, oh, right, I can pull out my bamboo steamer and do it that, just ways that I don't think of usually as the first thought, but that seemed very approachable. So I really appreciated that section.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, in hearkening back to an earlier conversation, frozen seafood, one of the things that I love so much about it is that it makes seafood a convenience food, as you were saying. We as parents who call dinner survival.
Right.
All of a sudden, seafood is a convenience product in our freezer that you don't even have to thaw to cook.
Right,
right. Especially when you're using methods like very slow roasting in a toaster oven. Hey, let's be democratic about this. The toaster oven, it works.
Yeah.
Or a bamboo steamer.
Sure.
There's so many elegant, easy ways to prepare this that are, just let parents get on with their day.
Exactly. Well, and there are a few recipes. Are we going to move into recipes, Steve?
Sure.
Or can we do that part? I know that one that caught my attention, just because I love to make this, and again, maybe I'm just coming at it too often from the side of ease and doing something quickly here, but the bread with tomato and anchovy, I love making pan con tomate, which is so simple and delicious, and if you do it right, it's so great, but adding the anchovy and a little fresh parsley was like brilliant to me.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, well, I'm not going to claim credit for inventing Spanish cuisine here.
Sure. But,
it is that sort of permission. Just, you can think about this simply, right? You can gain the health aspects of it. You can gain that incredibly deliciousness of it, of seafood, in ways that are so easy. Mm-hmm. Where I thought you were going when you first started saying the recipe was my favorite recipe in the book is the panzanella salad.
Oh, I saw that one.
I'm sure most of your listeners understand a panzanella, ripe heirloom tomatoes, nice punchy vinegar, some nice peppery greens, some cucumbers, some spicy red onions, all with croutons, right? To soak up all those juices. But instead, I use Gorton's fish sticks.
Isn't Gorton, yeah. Aren't they from Maine?
They were. You know, Highliner, Gorton's, yeah. But, you know, whatever fish stick, I didn't mean to call them out specifically necessarily. Just Miss Paul's is good. Vandy Camps, you know. Let's be simple about this. And in that way, replacing the croutons in that salad with the, you know, crunchy right. fish sticks cut into little bite-sized pieces straight out of the oven.
Well, and staying with a little bit of, I don't know, maybe Americana, you also have a tuna noodle casserole in there, which happens to be, I think, the one dish that my husband makes at home. I think there's one. Yeah. But I got to say, I kind of love it. It's delicious, and this one sounds incredible.
Is your recipe similar to the one in the book, Emily?
It's not mine. It's his.
Oh, he makes it. You don't make it for him.
That's the one thing that he'll make at home. Yes, but this
cream,
one's a little more sophisticated.
Cream of celery.
He goes cream of mushroom. Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
Nice. You know, it's controversial.
Well. But this is not Barton's recipe. This is Andrew's, right?
Correct. Sorry. There is a tuna casserole recipe that just reminded me. We were talking about Gorton fish sticks and things that are a little that you know everyone would have heard of and things like that, but.
Well, you've got kids, Barton, so you've probably made a tuna noodle casserole before, right?
Yeah, and you know what? We eat a lot of Annie's mac and cheese in this house because.
Yeah.
And my children don't know that it doesn't come with tuna in it.
Right.
Because right. I've just never made it without the tuna in there. And one day there was a can of pink salmon in there, and they said, oh, what's this kind? And I said, oh, I just found it on the shelf. It's a new one. And. Yeah, they just never knew the difference.
You know, maybe you can answer this question for me. My wife and I were having this conversation. I made a salad niçoise last week, and I've had a really difficult time now finding tuna in olive oil. A lot of manufacturers, producers now have gone to strictly water-based canned tuna. Do you know anything about this, Barton?
You know, I haven't seen that myself, but I might imagine that it's because olive oil prices went through the roof. Over the past couple of years, and that might be, you know, there's a reason why they say packed like sardines, because the sardines were the cheapest thing they put in the can. The olive oil is way more expensive.
Oh, so, interesting. Didn't think of that. Packed has so much more flavor.
It does, and, well, you can use the oil, too.
Right. Yeah.
To me, tuna water goes to the cat or down the drain.
Right.
You know, I haven't seen anybody doing a tuna back shot yet, as we do the pickleback whiskey shot.
Oh, interesting. But, another thing, there was a few years ago, it seemed like canned tuna, canned fish exploded. Everybody was experimenting with it. Everyone said it's the wave of the future. We had Josh Nyland on the show several times, who, you know, you probably know him. That really did a lot of exploration and promoting canned seafood and fish. Do you use that? And I know you have recipes for it in the cookbook.
Yeah, very much so. I think preserved and canned seafood, tinned seafood, if you want to be fancy about it, it deserves the renaissance that it's having. You know, it used to play such an important role in our cuisine, simply from a just day-to-day proletariat kind of commodity product. You know, it was essential to the war efforts, World War One and World War Two, and its popularity then waned for many reasons, I think, but it became a generational thing, and I'm so excited that new generations are discovering / rediscovering, you know, what can truly be a fantastic product.
Yeah.
And when people tell me that, oh, sustainable seafood, it's too expensive. It's, you know, it's only for those high-end shoppers, you know, blah, 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 hoity-toity. It's like, well, no, actually, it's the only sustainable food you can find in almost every gas station in
America. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Do we have time to jump to one more recipe here?
Oh, we've got plenty of time.
Oh,
actually,
good.
Why don't we take about a two or three-minute break? Are you okay, Barton?
Oh, I'm great.
Okay, good. You know, he's on Maine. He's looking at the coast. He's shelling a lobster or doing something, whatever he does out there. Barton Seaver's with us this morning, and the new book, the official release date is October 28th. He co-wrote this with Andrew Zimmern. And it's called the Blue Food Cookbook, Delicious Seafood Recipes for a Sustainable Future. Being fortunate to live here in Northern California, this is a cookbook that all of us definitely would enjoy, I promise you. And back right after these messages.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, and now at 96.9 in Petaluma.
Simpson Sheet Metal is helping local kids become million-word readers through Read on Sonoma. 85% of students met their reading goal this year, nearly double from 3 years ago. Our students read more than 591 million words, more than twice the national average. A special shout-out to Kenwood Elementary, the first school where all students met their reading goal. Congratulations and keep up the good work. Here's Barbie Simpson, owner of Simpson Sheet Metal.
One of the things I cherish most in my life is my grandkids. Spending time with them gives me such great joy. As they've grown, I've seen their reading skills and comprehension increase, along with their interest in the world around them. Being a grandparent is one of the greatest joys of my life.
Children who learn to read at grade level by third grade are more likely to graduate from high school and overall do better in life. Simpson Sheet Metal and Read on Sonoma, dedicated to improving children's lives in Sonoma County. ReadOnSonoma.org.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues? Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Join Allison Norman and Stephanie Norman, the newest mother-daughter real estate team in the North Bay, every Sunday morning at 9 on the Real Estate Hour, right here on KSRO. Sonoma County real estate market updates and knowledge from real estate professionals born and raised in the North Bay. For podcasts, go to KSRO.com. The Real Estate Hour with Allison and Stephanie Norman, Sunday mornings at 9 on KSRO. DRE license number 017-20334 and 022-09237.
In the North Bay, we love us some first responders, but imagine that of Def Leppard drummer Rick Allen, who decades ago lost his arm in a brutal car crash where first responders quick to the scene helped him live to drum another day. This is Jason Walsh of North Bay Biz, and this month we talk to the Def Leppard legend about how his Raven Drum Foundation works with local nonprofit First Responders Resiliency to support the health of these heroes. Rick Allen in Sonoma? No fooling at northbaybiz.com.
Hotel E, a top-rated hotel in Santa Rosa, provides exceptional hospitality, modern luxury, historic charm, and an unbeatable location on Old Courthouse Square. Look for the clock tower next to La Rosa Restaurant. Unwind at Hotel E's Enology Wine Lounge, where you can sip and savor award-winning wines and brews by Henhouse, Ghost Town, and Third Street Ale Works. Music bingo is every Friday from 5:30 till 7:30. Win drinks or a free night's stay. HotelESantaRosa.com.
I'm KSRO's Jeff Woodworth with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Some scattered showers this morning, and later this afternoon we can look to fairly cloudy skies to give us daytime highs in the mid-60s. In the evening, we can anticipate more clouds and around a 20% chance of showers to leave us with overnight lows in the high 40s and low 50s. Looking ahead, intermittent showers are expected throughout the weekend. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO.
Seaver, co-author with Andrew Zimmern of the new cookbook, The Blue Food Cookbook, is joining Emily Ashlam and me for a conversation this morning. He's speaking to us from his beautiful seaside home, and well, I'm just kind of, I don't know if he lives by the seaside or not, in the beautiful state of
right.
Maine. Hey, by the way, have you been a participant in the Maine Lobster Festival that goes on every summer?
Every day is the Maine Lobster Festival. What are you talking about? I have been in various ways. And,
okay.
You know, what's so wonderful about Maine is that seafood is so close to the heart and to the daily activities. You know, for so many people, seafood is like this thing that happens elsewhere, you know, by other people. And but here, seafood is it's our neighbors. They're the oyster farmers. They're the mussel farmers. They're the lobstermen. My kids go to school with the sons and daughters of these people. It's wonderful.
In the cookbook itself, do you offer any smoked fish recipes in this cookbook? I don't know that I remember seeing any.
Oh, do we? Yes.
I actually
have a copy in front of me. So, yes. Let's see. I'm going to preserved and canned seafood. So I have a timely recipe for the season. And it's an roasted acorn squash with a smoked salmon and walnut herb vinaigrette.
Ooh.
And so that it, I mean, talk about wine country cuisine.
Boy.
That's right.
I would put that with
a glass of Iron Horse sparkling, the Ocean Reserve that I helped to make actually with National Geographic years back, and with my dear friend Joy Sterling. But what a sexy autumn dish that is, right? Where smoked salmon becomes not just the thing you put on your bagel, but the hot smoked flaked into it, flavoring everything, bringing that rustic cabin in the woods first whiff of fall romance.
Boy, let's write a book about this. That sounds amazing. And you mentioned squash.
Is it a romance novel? Or
Emily was really taken with your use of squash and combining that with seafood.
I was just going to mention, you have butternut squash all over the place. You have, I guess, squash and seafood just hasn't been a natural pairing in my mind, but it sounds like a perfect pairing now that I see it in the book. Yep.
Yeah, that sweet, woodsy, earthy tones lend such a great structural, you know, framework for seafood and all of its salt, fragrant glory to sing. So.
Nice. Yeah, one of the ones I really loved was the butternut squash and mussel soup, which just like perfect for today. It's a little rainy, drizzly out here. You have miso paste in there, some nice fresh lemon, a little tarragon, and bitters. I love the use of bitters in there. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, you've read the book. I love this.
We try.
What I love about that is that it's not the traditional pureed butternut squash
soup.
Yep. But rather, I leave it in dice, and you use the mussel cooking broth to be the sort of the stock, if you will. And then you simmer chunks of the butternut squash soup in there, so it looks more like a minestrone, and then the mussels go back in that tarragon oil over the top, and bitters. And I'm so thrilled that you saw that aspect, because what do bitters do in cocktails? They bring things into balance.
Right.
They do the same thing with food.
Mm.
And just a drop or two of bitters, the same as you would use in a cocktail, in your butternut squash soup, in anything that has acidity and sweetness, it just brings it together in such a way that adds, It's like it gives it a decade of maturity if you're a person, you know.
It's sure.
Sort of like it takes it makes us into our best self, and it's a really fun little technique that I've come to use.
I've never tried, but I'm anxious to.
A fish that you never used to see very often in seafood cases is now all over the market, at least here in the West Coast, and that's branzino. I guess mainly because it was imported from Europe and was really expensive, but now they're doing aquaculture branzino, and you're seeing whole branzino in a lot of seafood cases. Is it popular in Maine?
No, not really. Not for any reason other than we don't have a whole lot of Italian and sort of Mediterranean restaurants here that sort of drive that salt crust kind of cuisine. But also I'm not going to say we don't import our seafood, because we have plenty of farmed salmon and other things that come to us from all over the place. But, what was interesting is branzino took the place of trout in sort of cuisine. The idea that the whole fish preparation, right? And in the South, we still have whole snappers, whole groupers, whole redfish, things like that, that have, you know, been a mainstay. But there used to be over 1 million trout farms in America.
A million?
Were, you know, sub- subsistence farms. The people just had in their backyard, just like they have backyard hens, right? You also had some backyard trout. And the idea of that whole roasted fish, for some reason, trout lost its prominence and Bronzino stepped in. And I would love to see trout see a resurgence. We have some incredible farm trout here in the United States that's really delicious, really healthy, really well done in terms of sustainability. And it's just a great story, a great product, and at a great price.
I saw a recipe that I know really caught my interest, but even more so than me, it caught Mrs. Garner's interest. And I'm wondering whether you spoke to my wife about this recipe. It's chilled shrimp and celery salad. My wife's favorite vegetable is celery. There's nothing that can't be improved by the addition of celery in her mind. Yeah. So she was thrilled to see this recipe in your cookbook, Anne. So thank
you. I love that. celery goes really well with smoke. And I forgive me. We wrote so many recipes for this that I can't remember if I put smoked shrimp in that.
You have it either poached or smoked shrimp for the recipe. Or you actually recommend scallops too if people don't want to do shrimp.
The celery is so underutilized, and in America it's either with peanut butter and raisins, ants on a log, or it's thrown into your chicken stock and otherwise neglected in your crisper.
Although we can smoke
it thin on a slice bias, and cutting across those fibrous threads. So you break through those, and it's just, what a great entertaining dish as well, because it holds up. It can be dressed an hour ahead of time, and it only gets better.
Chilled shrimp and celery salad. And if you don't want to be outside smoking, you recommend the smoking gun, which is kind of a little chefy tool, but it's become affordable now. Would you describe that, please?
Sure. If any of your listeners have ever used a bong, it's basically an electric bong that has a smoke canister. Basically, it's a pipe with a small vacuum underneath it that feeds the smoke then into a tube that you can direct into a captured container. So put your shrimp in a roasting pan on a roasting rack so that the smoke can circulate around it. Cover it with saran wrap or in a foil and thread the tube in there, start your little smoking gun, and you get such a wonderful whiff, a hint, just a slight sexy appeal aroma of that, and it a little bit goes a long way. You'd be surprised.
And can you use it as a bong also? No? Well, can it double duty? We are here in Northern California. We're fans up here.
And we're in Maine. We followed closely behind.
Well, since we're talking about smoking.
Yes, I imagine it could be.
It's time to try some of Steve's smoked fish.
Yes.
I smoked some black cod this week, and Emily has it in front of her. This is interesting. This is Black Cod Month here in Sonoma County because of the devastation that our local seafood people have faced with the declining salmon issues and crab season being cut short. We have decided to really promote black cod. Fishermen are going out catching a lot of it. Retailers are selling it. A lot of our top chefs here in Sonoma County have developed recipes using black cod. And John first gave a black cod recipe here in 2010 for his black cod with miso. And so I was fortunate to start working with black cod back then. And I decided to smoke some this week. We were encouraging our local listeners to go out and support retailers and restaurants that have black cod on their menu. If you don't know it for that, it's known as sable fish or butterfish. It's almost impossible to overcook.
That's the beauty.
Do you agree, Barton?
Yeah, it's a fantastic fish. It's the northern hemisphere relative of the Chilean sea bass.
That's right.
And so it eats in such similar ways, that rich, soft, succulent, convex flake that hits the palate and just a hint of pressure from the tongue against the roof of your mouth. And the whole thing just, it vanishes into the salt, fragrant, glory whiff of buttery, oh, gosh, it's good.
So Emily, I want some accolades about my smoked fish.
It really is so good, Steve. It's like a nice little sweet, salty umami. It's I think, and Barton, I think you may have a future in seafood poetry. I think that's like maybe a new genre for you
Because the only category of books that sells worse than seafood poetry is seafood poetry.
Thank you, Emily. No one will buy, right?
Well,
maybe you should be a career coach.
Or not.
I slow smoked this on my my favorite barrel smoker, which I've had for years. It's made by the Dragonimovich people. They're in Angel's Camp. That's where the jumping frogs of Calaveras County.
Oh.
So here's a photo of my smoker, Emily. Look at this.
His smoker.
It looks like from Depression Row.
Yeah. Rustic would be a nice way to put it. Yeah. Rusty way to put it.
I did this for 2 hours, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I brined it with salt and sugar. And then I let it dry overnight in the refrigerator, uncovered, so it had developed this nice pellicle, which would the smoke would adhere to. I slow smoked it at 160, 165, because I wasn't in a hurry, for about 2 hours, 2 hours, 15 minutes. And it was it did not dry out. A lot of smoked fish, unfortunately.
No, not at all.
Commercial places, they need to pump this out, so they're smoking it at 275, 300, 3 1/4, and it's still good.
Right.
But it doesn't have this melty, voluptuous flavor that slow smoking it does. And anybody can do this. It's not rocket science.
Well, and the texture is exactly as Barton was saying. I mean, it really is just like falls apart into this. It's, I mean, not mousse-like, but it's on its way. It's delicious.
Oh, well, thank you, Emily.
Well, one of the things that I love about that is with seafood cooking, so often it's quick, right? You put it in the pan, you basically don't overcook it, and you get it out. But we who love cooking, of opening a bottle of wine and taking our time with some really great tunes on, that slow, long manipulation of flavors, of layering and texturizing, right? We don't often get to do that with seafood. So I love that you did that with the sablefish. And it's this layered, step-by-step process that really allows us to, I don't know, take something perfect and somehow make it not better, but just like a wholly different form of perfect. And it's, I wish I was in studio with you.
No, you know, I'm still fixated on Emily's idea that you'd write a seafood poetry book. I really think this is an unexplored part. Maybe there's a reason it's unexplored.
Is it weird that I would read it?
Yeah, I would. We could sell two.
Right here.
Okay, let's take a quick break. And we have a few more minutes with Barton, who co-wrote this wonderful book, The Blue Food Cookbook, Delicious Seafood Recipes for a Sustainable Future. The actual release date is October 28th. It's with Andrew Zimmern from the TV Food Network fame, and being a Sonoma County, Northern California seafood lover, this is a cookbook I know that many people would find a valuable addition to their seafood library. Back after this.
Are you sitting on the fence thinking the real estate market may have passed you by? It's not too late. In fact, it might be the perfect time to make your move.
We're finally seeing more inventory and lower mortgage rates here in Sonoma County. That means more buying power, more choices, more opportunities, and less competition.
Still wondering if buying makes sense? Consider this.
Real estate builds wealth. As the value of your home goes up and your debt shrinks, your wealth grows.
Buying a home isn't just about where you live, it's where your future begins.
If you're feeling stuck and not sure where to start, let's take an honest look at your situation and help you come up with a plan.
Reach out to the Norman Home Team for a free, no-obligation conversation. Call or text 707-799-3617. Allison and Stephanie Norman are realtors at Keller Williams Realty Wine Country and hosts of the Real Estate Hour on KSRO, DRE license number 0172, 0334, and 0220-9237.
Starting your own business can be challenging, but Exchange Bank is here to help. Hi, I'm Jim Curry, branch manager at Exchange Bank, where we invest in Sonoma County. That means helping local businesses to get started and keep growing. A small business loan from Exchange Bank can make all the difference when you're getting a new business off the ground and as you meet the challenges along the way. Here's Drea from DH Wine Compliance.
Since 2011, we've trusted Exchange Bank to help grow our business. From a line of credit to a commercial loan for our new property, they've been there every step of the way. Customer support is always fast, friendly, and thorough, and we love the personal touch we get. With Exchange Bank, we're confident we've got a partner we can count on for years to come.
If you own or are starting a small business, Exchange Bank is here for you. Visit exchangebank.com for more information. Exchange Bank, investing in Sonoma County since 1890. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 643948. All loans are subject to credit approval.
After working in the construction industry for over 30 years with first-class designers, architects, and builders, founder Graham Robertson created his own company and launched Outlander Construction in 2017. From intricate restorations to high-end remodels, Outlander Construction will bring your ideas to life. In Pengrove, contact Graham Robertson at OutlanderBayArea.com or call 415-328-7891. 415-328-7891. OutlanderBayArea.com.
Listen the first Tuesday of each month at 12:30 for Raise the Roof with Letitia Hanke, right here on KSRO. Raise the Roof celebrates people in our community who are actively contributing to or possess expertise in the field of construction. Hear great info for contractors, community members, and our youth with insights for daily life. Brought to you by ARS Roofing and Gutters. Raise the Roof with Letitia Hanke, the first Tuesday of the month, and podcasts at KSRO.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Well, we were only going to chat with Barton for about 20, 25 minutes, but dag nabbit, you are so interesting.
Aww.
Honestly.
We're having fun.
But we want to mention that we're posting three recipes that John developed for the book, The Fish and Seafood, the Hog Island Book of Fish and Seafood, which came out in 2023. And John and I first started talking about black cod in 2010. So, Emily, you have three that we're going to post of John's recipes online.
Luckily,
what are they?
I have this catalog of all his recipes, which I'm so lucky to have. And black cod really was his favorite fish.
Yeah, he said it was his favorite fish.
It always was. Two of the recipes, Steve, are done in tinfoil. One he calls black sable fish with tomatoes and capers. I chose this one just because it is so approachable. It's things you might have around the house, like capers and lemons, a little thyme and tomatoes, and sort of in that slow roast that Barton was talking about. And then another one that's similar to that called black cod hobo packs, where you actually kind of envelop the whole thing in the aluminum foil, but it gets that nice slow roasty flavor, again, along with some garlic and capers and things along those lines. And the last one that's going to be up there is black cod with a grapefruit, beurre blanc.
That's really wild.
Which is wild, but it's, again, it's really simple. It's really approachable. I mean, beurre blanc is butter, it's butter and some citrus and things, and it's so good. You don't need much, and then you really get all the flavor of the cod.
So those will be posted this afternoon, and you can at least look at some of those black cod recipes that John developed and loved so much.
Yeah.
Well we're down to about the last minute. Yeah, go ahead, Barton.
Well, I was going to say, because we ended up talking so long in a great conversation, I've had to start in on my celebratory dinner prep for the night, and I just popped open a bottle of 2011 Magnum of Jordan.
Ooh.
Your great Sonoma neighbors, a cool climate cab that I'm from that year, and braising it with some eggplant with anchovies and roasted sweet onions with Cabrales cheese.
Okay, right now I am donning Barton Seaver, an honorary Sonoma County resident right now, for his love of all things Sonoma County. Barton, it's been beautiful talking
really
with you. Best of luck on the new book, the Blue Food Cookbook, Delicious Seafood Recipes for a Sustainable Future. Hope to talk again.
Anytime.
Thanks Barton.
So Emily? Thanks so much for your wonderful, wonderful presence this morning.
Oh, thank you, Steve. And thank you for the black cod. It was delicious.
Back? Well, we won't be back. We'll be back next week.
That is true.
Conversation on Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Bill is in Santa Rosa, California. Yo, Bill.
Hey, how we doing, Jimmy?
Santa Rosa sounds great right now.
Yeah, real nice weather today. Finally quit raining.
Amen.
His approach was that he wanted to fight that battle on an intellectual level and get the truth out there and do it in a way that was not insulting or degrading and had nothing to do with violence.
Weekdays 9 to noon on KSRO.
I'm KSRO's Jeff Woodworth with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Cloudy skies and scattered showers are currently giving us daytime highs in the mid-60s. Later this evening, we can look to more clouds and around a 20% chance of showers to leave us with overnight lows in the high 40s and low 50s. Looking ahead, intermittent showers are expected throughout the weekend. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO.
You're listening to At the Table with Clark Wolf on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO. Don't it always seem to go that you don't.